Hey guys, thanks for tuning in. I am here with my boyfriend Reese, who I'm sure most of you know of by now. We've been dating for about 4 or 5 years, coming up to 5 years, and we've been meaning to do a podcast episode together, but I haven't had the equipment or anything set up. But now I do. So I posted on Instagram asking you guys if you had any questions for us or if there was anything that you wanted us to talk about. And I've got a whole lot of questions here, so I'm gonna get straight into it. Welcome, Reese.
Hey guys.
I would love to know, how do you guys deal with arguments? My boyfriend and I often disagree on topics. I actually just posted an Instagram story. That was a little quote that I read, which said, "With a toxic partner, a disagreement will turn into an argument that will turn into a bigger problem. With a divine partner, a disagreement will turn into a conversation that will lead towards a solution. Know the difference." So, Reese, I'll give Reese credit where credit is due. He's probably single-handedly kept his relationship alive. What's my biggest problem?
Stubbornness.
Yes. And what do I have a hard time doing?
Admitting you're wrong and apologizing.
But then I also am very patient. I feel like it takes me a lot longer to get annoyed, and then it takes me just as long to get over it. Whereas you, it takes less for you to get annoyed, but then it takes less for you to get over it. Do you think that's fair?
Probably, I'd say, yeah.
So if we had an argument, which we do because like every single.
Everybody does, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, initially, we butt heads. One person obviously disagrees with the other. Or you both have completely different expectations of what you want the other person to feel or think, or what their view is basically on the topic at hand, or whatever, whether it's what's for dinner, or whether someone said something to offend the other person, and one person can take that wrong, and the other person can think that they just meant a joke, or they didn't mean it to offend the other person, but you never know if it is going to offend the other person. And so sometimes you have to take a second and step back and realize if you're on the other end, how would that affect you? And then if you think that, okay, maybe you do have a leg to stand on, then you go to the person to discuss and say, this is what I think, and then get their opinion and see where they're coming from. And maybe they, even when you step into their shoes, they may not view it the same way you do still. So you've got to discuss with them and basically get their opinion and their view. And then from there, you work out an agreement or
A formal contract to deal
No,
with.
like a
A
how to move
resolution.
forward, yeah, a resolution. Basically, figure out what works for both of you. In terms of next time that same thing comes up
Compromise, yeah.
again, then you know that, okay, if that issue arises, then you know how to handle it, basically.
And that's really important, and exactly, because if you have arguments and nothing is communicated, there's no resolution, one person hasn't been listened to. Like, I think human nature, all we want to do is feel valued and heard. People just want to feel validated. Like, if I come to you and say, you hurt my feelings, the worst thing you can do is say, well, that's your fault. That's your problem. Even if you didn't do it on purpose, sometimes you just need to be acknowledged and say, okay, I hear you. I'll try not to do that next time. I didn't mean it that way. But a lot of the time, it can get taken out of. It becomes, if it's not dealt with properly, an argument will arise about something that has nothing to do with the actual problem, and then it just skyrockets and propels into this thing that it never needed to be. But if you deal with it properly when it comes, and of course, like when Reese and I first started dating, we had so many arguments about stuff that was silly because we're both finding our feet. We're both figuring out what annoys each other and where we stand and when to back off, when to help, when to chip in. Like it's just a matter of figuring out, yeah,
You're
your.
still figuring out each other's needs and wants and expectations, basically, in a relationship. Because I think that's the biggest thing is your own expectations. You might think of something and think it's going to go one way, but someone else can view it a complete different way. And so it goes, generally, that's how you butt heads, is when you both have complete different expectations, or you want something different to the other person out of something or something like that. I guess it's.
Yeah, and that's where you've made me a better person because looping in back to the start of the question, my biggest issues, and I hate that about myself, but we've all got our things that we need to work on, and I'm trying to work on them, is stubbornness and my inability to admit that I'm wrong. I mean, I do feel like it just takes me longer. I've got to sit on it. I need time to myself. I need time to, because it's like the worst combination. Because I'm stubborn, it's like a pride thing. It's like I never. If I said something to Reese that upset him, and we've spoken about this before, my, like, part of the reason why it's so hard for me to say that I'm wrong is because I would never intentionally say something to him to upset him. So my desire to say, to defend myself and to prove that he's wrong and that I'm right comes not because I want to defeat him. It's because I want to prove to him that I didn't actually intentionally hurt him. So it's like, oh, I said that about you. No, I didn't upset you. Or no, that wasn't wrong. I said it because of this, this, and this. Like, trying to defend myself to prove that I never meant to hurt him ends up coming across as your feelings are invalid and aren't worthy of me listening to them and I'm right still. So it's been a long time of, like, realizing that...
Well, just on that, your stubbornness, the fact that you do hold on for longer is the way, I guess, I come in there, is that I let go of things a lot quicker and easier, and maybe I reflect quicker, whereas you're probably still residing on the fight. I've got to win, or I've got to be right, or you're just holding on to that stubbornness, basically.
Yeah.
And maybe I reflect quicker and think about things, and the process just goes quicker through my head. So then I'll come back to you and sort of form a discussion.
You'll reach out first. Yeah. You'll say, like, can we move on from this? Do you want to talk about it? Like, that is your strong point for sure. And something that I really, 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 like, love about you, because it's not your job to do that. But the fact that you do it so naturally has made me become, as I said, a better person. And also on that, do you think you get annoyed more easily and then move on from it more easily? And it takes more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which is, again,
it's more so bigger picture for me. I think I get annoyed in the moment, but then as I said I reflect quicker and go realize, like, what are we even arguing about, or what's, like, what is the purpose of this, and why what are we trying to get to, like, why are you annoyed, or why am I annoyed, or, you know, why are you offended, or why am I offended, like, what's the reason behind it, and then put that into perspective and then move forward, basically learn from it rather than just sit on it and let fester. it just fester. And
but then, yeah, same thing. It takes me a lot less. My tolerance is higher than yours. I can tolerate more, but it takes me longer to get over it. If you reach my annoyed threshold, if you get to that point, then it takes me longer to get over it. Whereas yours might be lower, but you're able to move on from it so much quicker.
Mm.
So both, like, for me, not getting annoyed as quickly is a plus, but then for you, moving on from it's a plus. So it's, I don't know, I think that's why we work so well together, because I've said to you before, if you were as stubborn as I am, soon to be hopefully was, then I don't think our relationship would have worked, because it would just be constant fights.
The days that I have tried to hold firm, if, say, I felt that I was in the right, and if I've held firm for longer than normal, it would end up just being like a super long day of just silence and awkwardness. So
do you remember that
in the end, it's just, it became not worth it, where it's like, again, is this really worth it? Like, what is the point?
And because we've lived together pretty much since we started dating, and not even a joke, like, almost, I think the longest amount of time we've ever spent giving each other silent treatment was when we went down south, which is like a 3-hour drive. And I think we had an argument and we went to go up. I think we ended up leaving early. And so we had a 3-hour drive home. I was driving and we didn't speak a word to each other. Oh, and you had your phone so you could distract yourself, but I was sitting driving.
You had to concentrate on the road so you were distracted.
No, God. Oh. So that was the longest we've ever probably not spoken to each other. And I still find that fun. That's pretty, like, I know that's not long for a lot of couples, because most people wouldn't probably live together so soon. But for us, that was a lot. So that's a long way of answering that question. Do we argue? Yes. Do we argue often? No, because I feel like we did all of that at the start of our relationship. Mm. And we learned from it. That's the thing. Everything in life, don't make mistakes and then not learn from them. Like, you're going to go around in circles. You can't, with everything, business, friends, like, diets, anything, not diets, but, like, eating, you know, like, health, fitness, all of that stuff. Like, you need to learn from things that don't work.
I think, that's the biggest thing in a relationship. If you continuously argue about the same things over and over, then you're not learning, you're not growing. So then the relationship isn't actually going to go anywhere, because it's just resentment. Yeah, it's just a cycle.
Yeah, you just resent each other.
It's just a cycle, so.
Any advice on building trust and not getting jealous when your partner has opposite sex friends? both of us don't really have many opposite sex friends. I never really have. Have you really had many opposite sex friends?
Never. I'm awkward around girls, so I've never really had opposite sex friends. So.
And I feel like it's hard. It's a sad fact. Who was I talking about this with? I can't remember who I was talking about it with. A lot of the time, it is hard to have friends. As a female, it's hard to have male friends. Like, I know so many of my friends that have had male friends that have, like, had crushes on them or something. It's a really, it's not a fact or anything like that, but I feel like it can be difficult to keep a very platonic friendship with the opposite sex without either party. And this would be the same with men too, without either party getting feelings, like, yeah, liking the other person. And that's, I know it's like a generalization, and it's obviously possible to be friends with the opposite sex, but in the experience that I've had, and I'm sure you've had experiences where, no, I think you've told me experiences where girls have liked you, you didn't see them that way, they were just friends. Yeah. And it just blurs the lines and makes things awkward. But anyway, that wasn't even the question. Getting jealous. We had these issues when we first started dating because...
I don't think we were comfortable in our relationship yet. Like, we're still finding our feet and still finding out how the other person felt about you and where it's going to go and whether it was going to be a long-term thing or...
You're so vulnerable. Like, yeah. You're this person I pretty much only just met.
And it comes out of fear. Jealousy is always out of fear because... you're worried that you're going to lose that person or that you're not enough for that person.
Exactly.
So you project that onto them and your insecurity comes out in the worst way rather than just taking a step back and seeing how things develop and whether that person does actually want to be with you. Because at the end of the day, if they do, you would trust them and it just develops.
The biggest thing, and for both of us, is it all comes down to insecurity. If I got jealous of Reese, what I thought he was doing, or if he looked at someone, or if I looked at someone, or we thought each other looked at someone, for example, it comes down to the reason that made me jealous is because I think, is she prettier than me? Mm. Would Reese rather be with her, or would Lauren rather be with him? Is he more attractive than me? It comes down to, like,
overthinking everything.
And not thinking that you're enough as you are, and that you're not enough of a catch to be... for your partner to only want to look at you and not be interested.
Yeah.
And it's an immaturity thing, more so, I guess, for me as well, because I hadn't had a relationship. So I didn't know. I had never really had someone that was like mine, in quotation marks.
Yeah.
Not that you're mine. I don't own you and you don't own me, but, like, you know what I mean? Like,
but I think it comes back down to your own self-worth and your own self-image and how you sort of view yourself. And if... in the beginning, we're both pretty insecure because, I mean, you hadn't had a long-term relationship and I'd come out of a bad one. It just, both in a bad place. And so you get scared that person is going to want to find someone else or doesn't, you know, that you're not enough, as I said. But at the end of the day, when you grow and develop, then you realize that you are enough and you are more than enough.
And that, if you wanted to cheat on me or if I wanted to cheat on you, that's... both of our losses. Like, if you cheated on me, that's your loss.
Yeah.
I'm a great person. If I cheat on you, that's my loss because you're a great person. Mm. So if you don't see that in me or I don't see that in you, that's... If we're going to cheat on each other, we're going to cheat on each other regardless of whether or not we think we can... you can't look at that person. Don't talk to her. Don't do this. If someone is going to cheat on you, they're going to do it regardless of how much control you put over them or how much you monitor them or how insecure or jealous you are. And, like, I feel like...
nothing you do will change
that. No. If someone's going to do that to you, they're going to do that to you.
And it's not a reflection of
you.
It's a reflection of that person and who they are and where they are in their life. And they're not comfortable in who they are. So they are continuously finding that next
thing. Exactly.
To try and... one, it's not even to... please them or whatever, that it's just purely to try and fulfill their insecurity because they're insecure in themselves, that they continuously think they need something better or something more to validate who they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, when we first started dating, I didn't actually know what kind of person... like, you have an idea of what someone's like, but I don't know if you could... I remember... so, obviously, Reese and I met... I'm saying obviously because a lot of you guys have followed our story before, but... he messaged me on Facebook many moons ago, and so that's how we first started talking. And Then he asked for my number and I gave it to him. And then a couple of days later, he asked for my number again. And I was like, oh, I already gave you my number. I'm like, why do you need it again? And he said, oh, I deleted your message. And my alarm bells went off. And I was like, why did you delete my message? And then in my head, I'm like, great. He's seeing someone. He's like talking to lots of girls. He has to like hide the evidence. I was like, oh. And I think I said that to him. I was like, that seems a bit weird. Anyway. And he's like, oh, no, I just delete it. Delete everything. I delete my emails and my messages. And I was like, who? Like, all right, sus.
Terrible. Like, listening to you explain it back, it just sounds terrible. So but it's so funny at the same time because of obviously where it leads to. But it's.
Yeah. Yeah. So we. And anyway, long story short, 5 years later, 4 years. Hey, I don't know. Okay, just say
5 years.
Almost five
it's
years.
5 years in December. Okay.
So let's just like say 5 years.
3 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Damn. Okay. Still to this day, Reese currently has, I think, 3 texts in his messages.
Not one, it's just you.
He deletes all his emails.
I used to delete all my emails, but you've basically made me keep them because of our business stuff and all that. Yeah. And it's good to go back on it. But before we had all the businesses and stuff, I mean, all my emails were like online shopping and stuff like that. But
yeah, so you delete them all. But then you're a Virgo, so you're like the most neat person. If you could live in a perfect world, there would not be one speck of mess anywhere, which I get. I respect that, but
it's not mess. It's just I'd like
neat and orderly.
Yeah, organization. I guess just things to be organized and
a place for everything.
Structure.
Yeah, so that's another like when you don't know someone. Oh yeah, this guy's deleting messages and emails. Yeah. Like, and he's just saying,
would have come across as the worst.
I mean, who does
first
that?
First impression as well.
And I didn't know. I mean, he seemed like a nice guy, but again, you're vulnerable, so it's scary to actually trust them.
The other thing with that story as well is I had to get my phone fixed at Apple as well, so I didn't want them to read my messages. So that's the biggest reason why I deleted them that day.
Hiding your messages.
Nothing, but I don't know if they read them or not back then. So,
I'm kidding. But see it's what one it of those things like just, where you're, everything was going against you.
Yeah,
exactly it. So that's something that you learn with time. You know that someone just has their little quirks, but at the start of a relationship,
it's red flags.
Yeah, red flags everywhere. How do you deal with getting in each other's space? That's a good one. I'll start off with this one because I think it's more, I am lucky that I work from home, so I get to stay home all day and have the whole house to myself and have time for myself and all of that, whereas Reese is working, so even though he's not really working with someone, he's still working. At the start of our relationship, or I guess up until a couple, maybe years ago, Reese would come home after a big day, and because I've been home all day, I'm like, I'm all excited because Reese is home and I'm, want to tell him about my day and do this and do that. But he's exhausted and hasn't had time to himself just to like switch off. So you'd be in like a less than great mood. And then that turns into an argument because I'm like, oh, geez, I just wanted to say hi. But like, I was never putting myself in your shoes because imagine if I had been doing what you had been doing all day. And then come home and got a little, like, puppy at home. It's like, wee, attention, attention, attention. It's like, give me time to myself for a sec. And then I'll, go.
Sounds bad when you put it that way.
No, it's not.
I know what you mean.
No, it's not at all. Now what we do is you come home and I let you come to me. When you've, like, gone to the gym, you've done whatever you want to do, you've, like, decompressed. And so that's, for me, been a really big thing. And has that been a big thing? Has that helped you, like, just being able to
decompress? Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and it minimizes arguments because you've had time to, like, again, decompress.
I've gotten better at that as well, coming home in a different mood and changing my energy basically when I come home, because some days you have really bad days at work, but that shouldn't be brought home because obviously Lauren has nothing to do with work and what happened at work has nothing to do with Lauren, so I shouldn't be bringing that home. And so I've learned as well with that, changing my mood and my energy when I get home, that it's all right, clean slate, I'm home, not at work, so it is what it is, that's past, and now I move on from it. And so things have definitely gotten easier that way with us, for sure. If we want space, we'll just, you go do your thing, we just go do it. It's a matter of, like, we're both pretty independent people generally, so it's like, if you want to do something, you can go do it, and if I want to do it, I can go do it. I guess the more you are together, you realize, okay, we spend
95% of our time together.
So it's like if they want to go spend, exactly.
We just become so much more, again, it's just secure in the relationship that it's like, if I need time to myself or you need time to yourself, it's not personal. It never was personal, but it's how you, I guess.
It's your expectations. You got to take your expectations out of it because you can't put your expectations on that other person because you are two completely separate people. So you're going to have completely different expectations and needs and wants. So if you need to go and have time to yourself, then I've got to just step away and go, okay, she needs that. But after she's had that, she'll come back and we'll do our thing. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't always need to be up in each other's grill and we never force that on each other. But at the end of the day, you're like my best friend. I'm like your best friend. We want to spend our time together. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. It isn't like you're making me feel guilty. Oh, you know, I want to see you on the weekend. You can't go see your friend or some kind of weird controlling relationship like that. That's obviously that would never fly with either of us. It's like, let's do this on the weekend. Let's go do this. It's like, we want to. I want to spend my time with you. I enjoy spending my time with you. Like, yeah, obviously we're dating, but like we're best friends too. So it's not a matter of, it's just being mature about it. If either of us need space, we'll give it to each other because like you're entitled to that. We're not one human being. And two, we want to be in each other's space. So it's not really, we don't have to like compromise and sacrifice. It just has flowed naturally.
Well, there's a lot of relationships that
completely opposite.
Well, and they work. They
need time apart. Yeah.
They like work FIFO. In their own thing, their own way.
Yeah, some people say that their relationship couldn't work unless their partner worked away for 2 weeks and it was back for a week or like, and that's cool too. Someone has said, it's the 3-part question. Do you ever feel pressure to get married / have kids? My boyfriend and I have been together for 7 years and everyone around us are having kids and pressuring us saying when, and I just can't explain myself anymore, LOL. Oh yeah. And it's not even from the people around us. It's from the people online. Like your parents, your family, my parents, my family aren't like, when are we getting grandbabies or grandkids?
Especially my family. I've come from a big family with brothers and sisters that all are married and have kids and things like that. But
the last thing they're waiting for is like more. I guess,
if anything, that's made me realize more so to take my time a bit because a lot of my siblings have had kids young and just seeing them not miss out on things, but obviously they have other things they do and enjoy and it's worked for them. But for me, it's, I guess, put a different perspective on things. So.
You've got also different goals, I guess, which is like fine. Like everyone's got their different, some people always want to start a family and settle down. And some people want to work on themselves and live life and be selfish and independent, which is what both of us want to do. So before I met Reese, I never wanted kids. I was very vocal about it. My sister is 6 years older than me. There's no way she'll ever have kids. She never wanted them. My brother's 4 years older than me. I think he might have kids eventually. But so before I met Reese, I never wanted kids. I've never been maternal. I've never even like dreamt about getting married. I've never been one of those girls that's like, oh my gosh, my wedding day. So I think the first time I ever thought about having kids was when I saw Reese with his nieces and nephews. And because he has such a big family, like I don't have any young kids in my family, so I'm very awkward around children and babies. Whereas Reese is like the cool uncle, all of his nephews and nieces love him, obsessed with him. He's such a natural. And when I saw him with his nieces and nephews, it was like the sweetest, most incredible thing I've ever seen. I was like, oh my God, he would make an amazing dad. And so those thoughts like creep in every now and then. But as a whole, there is so much we want to do and experience. And I still don't have this maternal instinct or primal urge. And everyone says, oh, you'll get it when you're older. And maybe that's true. But for now, we're both of the mindset where it's like, let's just live life to the fullest now. Do all the things we want to do now and not have to worry about planning or anything like that. And then if it happens, it happens.
For me, it's, as you said, spending time with my nieces and nephews in those moments is great in that, but then to be able to walk away and leave and let them go back to their parents, it's like...
And have all the tantrums and bratty moments.
Exactly. It's all the fun and highlight moments. So that just reminds me, okay, I'm definitely not ready yet, because then you see them run to mum and dad or whatever crying and needing help, and that's something I'm definitely not ready for, and I don't know if I ever will be at this stage, but who knows where things will go. It's the sort of thing where you just, it is what it is, it happens when it happens, and if it's mental, it's mental, if it's not, it's not. But I'm not someone that's like, I need kids or want kids or, and definitely marriage is something I've never ever, not that I've never wanted it, but
never dreamed about it.
No, and I've never been, I don't feel that it changes anything in a relationship or it should change anything or it defines the relationship. It just, to me, it's more so like a celebration or something that you do and whatever, like, the part, like, you know, the actual ceremony, the wedding and stuff, but from
that.
What you hear about from everyone else and how, like, when you get married, this happens and marriage turns into this and it's
gloom. Obviously, it is what you make it, but
90% of people I speak to, it just sounds like marriage is the worst thing, and then having kids is the worst thing. Like, you never,
not the worst thing, but it's like it's life changing, not always for the better. Obviously, you have your good and your bad days, but I'm sure there's people listening to this that are like, oh, but it's amazing, it's so fulfilling, and I never wanted kids, and I had them, and it's changed my life, and I totally, like, you know, that's awesome. But I feel like we've spoken about this before. Maybe we'll get to a point in our lives, like, mum had me when she was 33. If I ever had kids, there's no way in the world I would be in my 20s, for sure. And maybe we'll get to a point where we're like, we've done everything we wanted to do. It's like, we're bored, next chapter. Like, maybe it'll just feel right. Or maybe life will be 10 times busier in the future and we just won't feel like there's a gap that needs filling. Not everyone has that, I guess, because even marriage, like, I just don't, even that, I would hate to have a big wedding. Ugh, if I ever got married.
And I wouldn't want to have...
If we ever got married, it would be, like, eloping or going out of the town hall or something and just... How to keep the spark after a few years together. There's nothing we actually actively go and do, is there? We don't, like, say, oh, let's go and get dressed up and go to dinner. It's like, it's even the smallest things. Like, if I have to go to Sydney or something for work, like, Reese will pick me up from the airport and I get excited to see him. Like, it's just little things that just, that's not something that we go out of our way to do. It's just, and it isn't like a spark. Like, what, it define a spark? Is it like, are you expecting to feel the same way that you felt in the honeymoon phase when you're still, like, getting to know each other and it's all, like, you know, mysterious and fun and exciting? And it's not so that a long-term relationship isn't fun and exciting, but it's completely different dynamic because you're now, like, partners. You're, like, sharing your lives together. So you know everything about each other. There's nothing really new to keep on discovering. So to have this, like, new big fireworks spark,
I'll jump in there and think that when it comes to the spark, I don't think it's adding or trying to do something. I think it might be just be changing your perspective and the way you look at your partner instead of maybe sometimes you find that you're thinking negatively or maybe they're not giving you enough attention or something like that. Maybe change your perspective and think of things you're grateful for that they do or the way that they treat you or things like that, because it's the more you look for positive things, the better you're going to feel, and then that's naturally you're going to, like, better things are going to happen. You're going to have more fun. You're going to feel better about the relationship and the spark will be naturally there. I think it's just your perspective and your own feelings and what you put towards it is what you're going to get back. The first part of that question comes down to having an open discussion with your partner. If there's no spark, you both need to sit down and discuss A, why there isn't any spark, or B, if you're both on the same page. Because if the other person doesn't feel the same way, then definitely needs to be a discussion to figure out what's going on, or let the other person know how you feel and the fact that you feel that the spark is no longer there and that you feel like things need to be worked on. Or
Because
the other person may be blissfully going along in the relationship thinking everything's fine and you may be thinking there's no spark, but yet if your partner isn't aware of that, then how can they change anything or do anything? So
I'll put more effort in. And also, if you've been dating someone for 10 years, like, I'm sure there are going to be periods where the spark will die out a little bit. You're dating someone 10 years and then it'll reignite. Like, I don't think it's realistic to think you guys are always going to be 100% on forever, because that's not how anything works. Even with your family, with your friends, like, you're always going to have times where you drift apart, come together, like,
where you need your own space, where you need to do your own thing for a while. There's
nothing wrong with that.
We're all humans. We all grow at different rates and different in different ways. And yeah, you've got to be aware of that and mindful of that, that that also takes place in a relationship as well. The relationship will grow at its own pace, and then you guys separately will grow at your own pace. So you just have to work together to keep that.
To keep you, you can be growing parallel, but in different, one line could be like you're heading towards the same direction.
Yeah.
In completely different ways. You both just got to want it equally as much. Is that the articulate way of saying that? I don't know. Anyway, next one.
Who cares about being articulate? You guys get it.
Yeah. Reese's anxiety about going out in public, etc., and if he has any advice. I'll just quickly pop in, even though this is not my question, but that was very interesting for me because when Reese and I started dating, when we'd go out in public, he'd get shaky, and I was like I have never dealt with anxiety or depression or anything like that. I didn't know what signs were, how to comfort someone who was going through that. So that was a lot of props to Reese. He's amazing like that, and I'm speaking about him as if he's not here, but he's so open to his emotions, and he's not one of those guys that's like, oh, I'm fine, like I'm not going to talk about it. He doesn't shut his emotions in and just suck it up. He's open and he'll talk about it, and he's like in touch with his emotions, which I think is very masculine. It's probably typically not thought of in that way because men are always told to like suck it up and deal with it, but I feel like it's so masculine for people to be able to acknowledge how they're feeling and work towards a solution. Anyway, that's my little TED talk. Over to you, Reese.
It's a tough question to answer because obviously it's every day it's a work in progress. Like, I've come a long way in terms of how I approach things and how I feel, because I'm growing as a person and realizing that basically everybody's thinking the same way in terms of we're all so worried about ourselves and how we look or feel or what the other person's thinking, instead of, yeah, we need to ignore that though and forget that, because it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks or what anyone else feels about you or says about you or any of that stuff, because yeah, it has no impact on who you are or on your life or yeah, how things work out for you.
And they're probably not even thinking about you in the first place.
Yeah, that's generally the biggest thing I've learned is, yeah, everybody is so focused on themselves and their own little world that generally no one's even actually thinking about you or what you're doing or...
Well, you also don't put yourself in situations that you know are going to make you uncomfortable. Like, we both hate shopping centres. Yuck. I'd rather gouge my eyes out with a fork. Like, I would rather not go to a shopping center just because there's so many people there. And I think avoiding situations that you know will trigger it seems to make a lot of sense. And also, you've gotten a lot better at like pushing yourself. And you've said to me, I know that you find it hard to like talk about it, and that's why I'm jumping in now, because you've said that a lot of it is like the lead up. It's like the build up to something.
Yeah, it's the overthinking. At the end of the day, all you do is overthink. And again, it comes back to that word, expectations, because you put your own expectations on it that things are going to go a certain way, or you want things to go a certain way, but it's like at the end of the day, things are going to go the way they go, and it doesn't matter. Like, just
you can't control it.
Yeah, just let it be. I think that's the biggest thing, is letting go and just sounds cliche, but being in the moment. Like,
if something bad's going to happen, it's going to happen regardless of if you're anxious about it or not.
And it's not going to change your life. No. Like, it's okay to be embarrassed sometimes. It's okay to feel crappy some days. And it is what it is. Like, you just suck it up. You do it. And most of the time, you come out of it and you have fun and you realize, exactly. Like, geez, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like, it's purely just overthinking everything. And generally, as I said, everyone's thinking the same thing, where they might have expectations where it's not going to be as easy for them either. And so you just... got to let go, I guess.
And focus on how you feel afterwards. I know that I don't have anxiety, but I know that I get extremely nervous around doing like public meetups or talks or events or things that people, with all the attention's like on me, because I hate attention being on me. And so my manager always says, she's like, it's crazy that you are so, like, you just do not enjoy it. You like dread it. But yet, as soon as you're up there, you're talking, it comes so naturally, and you're like, you're natural, and you're so good at it, and it seems like you've, you know, been doing it forever. And it's like, after I do it, I feel amazing. But in the lead up, I think about every possible way that I could get out of it, because I'm just so nervous and I'm overthinking it. And it's just like, then you do it and it's an absolute breeze. It's so easy. And then you're like, yes, this feels so good. I'm so proud of myself. And then a month passes and you have the next thing you got to do. And I'm like, oh, I'm nervous again. And so it's just a matter of like, as you just said, you can't, like, changing your expectations, not focusing on what could go wrong, or focusing on what could go right, and just staying positive and hoping that it'll all go great. And if it doesn't, then you'll deal with it when it comes. But not thinking about that as like the only option or the only result.
I was just going to say some tips maybe for certain situations, like if you're nervous about having a dinner with some people or a group situation or something, is the easiest way for me, I've noticed, is just asking questions. It sort of puts the attention not off yourself, but it's just easier if you ask questions to get the other person to talk, and then you sort of, you get the energy from the other person then, and you can feed off that. Another thing I do is sort of like, it's a sort of a form of meditation, but it's more like a mantra where I'll say certain words to myself that remind myself to be like, even just something like, it doesn't matter what people think, or I think the biggest thing with the whole anxiety side of things is just not thinking too far forward. I think the biggest thing is we think too much in the future, and it's, we keep going back to that and being cliche, but it is just being in the moment and just reflecting on, you can reflect on past experiences and realize that, you say you were going to a party and you're really nervous about going to it, but then you end up having a great night. And so just think back on those times where you've had so much fun, and just then the simple things where you've had a laugh and enjoyed yourself. But just try not to think of what might happen or what could happen, because at the end of the day, if it happens, it happens. It doesn't change anything. You move through it, you get through it. At the end of the day, you get home, you're still yourself. Things go back to how, you know, how they were before you left.
The world does not stop spinning.
But you'll get through it. That's the key to everything. You just do it. Thanks to Nike.
How does Reese react to your haters? Like, how does he take it, people being rude to you? It doesn't really happen as often anymore. But what have you done when I've been, the few times, I could probably count like maybe 3 times, maybe 5 times maximum in the years that we've been dating, that I've been in tears. And what do you say to me? Like, if I was saying to you, I'm really overwhelmed and I'm upset and people are mean, what would you say to me?
I'll just remind you of the impact you're having on the other million people that positively, like, and at the end of the day, those people that are giving you hate is just a reflection of the position they're in at their life and the growth that they still have to do. Like, it's...
Boom!
Yeah.
Snap.
First of all, obviously, you just comfort you and make you try and sit back and, like, reflect and realize that it's... As I said, there's 1,000 positive comments for that one negative one, so...
Focus on that, Focus on the positive.
All you can do, though, is just, like... give them love, because that's really what they're reaching out for, that person. Like,
yeah. It's also not Reese's responsibility to coach me out of a bad place, just like it's not my responsibility to coach him out of a bad place. It's our responsibility ourselves to get ourselves to a better position. But of course it helps having someone there that supports you and that can speak reason into you, because sometimes when you, it's like if you're being bullied at work or your friends being mean to you or your family's being mean to you, like, you just want someone to listen. You just want someone to listen to you and say, you know what? Yeah, like, that sucks. Like, that's not very nice of them or whatever. And, like, just listen to you first and then remind you of the things that you've currently forgot about. It's like, you know, you've got always to be grateful for. You're amazing. You don't need to listen to them. As Ree said, focus on all the people that love and support you. And while it's not anyone's responsibility to do that for you, sometimes when you're in a funk, you just need someone to pull you out of it, to help you out of it. And I'm sure on my own, I could have got myself out of it. On Reese's own, he could have got himself out of it. But it's nice when you have someone there to assist you.
I think it's just reminding you that it doesn't measure or mark your value or your self-worth. And it's like, you're bigger than that. You're just reminding you that you're amazing and you can devote that energy instead of into the haters, into the positive people and a bigger impact elsewhere. Yeah.
What have you taught each other? Reese has definitely taught me how to, is teaching me, because I'm still working on it, be less stubborn, how to admit that I'm wrong when I am wrong. What else have you taught me? What have I taught you while I'm thinking of more things that you've taught me?
You've taught me to be or you have such a positive outlook that that's like, it's infectious. It's something that's, yeah, every day you have such a positive outlook that it's hard not to, I guess, feed off that and learn from that and become more like that and be more grateful. I think the biggest thing you've taught me is self-worth and believing in yourself, and like, you can achieve anything you put your mind to, basically. Like, just seeing how successful you become and how you how successful you are, and basically you instilling or empowering me by supporting me makes me, or has made me, realize how much I can achieve, and that, yeah, that anything's possible, realistically. Like, if you believe it, you can achieve it. And it's okay to fail as well. Like, it's, I think that's the biggest thing, is knowing that I have you there, and your support has taught me that at the end of the day, you can go for things, but if it doesn't work out, that things are still going to be okay.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of you.
Yeah.
It's never, yeah. You've also taught me, you've pushed me out of my comfort zone with things as well. You encourage me to do things that you know I can do. It's just the smallest little things. The smallest little things. Like in Bali, I was so lame. We had a little pool and I was like, how do you dive? I don't know if I can dive. I was like paranoid that I wouldn't be able to dive into a pool because I got like belly flop. Like just the smallest little things that I overthink. And like, that's just obviously a silly example, but there's bigger things too. But like, and you just have this way of believing in me and not pushing me or forcing me and making me feel guilty or embarrassed or ashamed, or, and this isn't just about the pool thing, like with anything, you just believe in me to the point where, I guess, similar to you, how I've helped you, but with me it's more so like things that I, because I guess I'm paranoid about things going wrong and I'm scared to do things, like I'm a scaredy cat with certain things. You've also pushed me and like to become more adventurous and to just do things that might scare me a little bit.
Take a risk.
Yeah, take a risk. That's it. That's exactly it.
Here's a question. How do you guys deal with different dietary requirements, whether it's vegan, vegetarian, or meat eating? So I used to eat meat, and it was only 7-8 weeks ago that I started eating a plant-based diet. For me, it was after watching the Game Changers show or documentary on Netflix. But it's just interesting to see things from a different perspective. And there was quite a few people that I follow as someone who loves sport, and quite a lot of it was, yeah, sport based basically, and how our diet impacts our performance. And there was a guy from the UFC, whatever. Anyway, watch it and take what you want from it. But for me, I got out of it quite a lot with basically how it affects our performance. And with my ulcerative colitis, I also have been slowly veering away from sugar and meat and things like that. So it was sort of like the last sort of thing that I needed to help me maybe take that next step and go plant-based, I guess, just to see what impact it would have on me and my bowels and energy and things like that. And I can honestly say for the last, probably the first couple of weeks, it was quite difficult. Not so eating the meat, because I've been with Lauren, who's obviously a vegetarian. I've eaten less and less meat as our relationship's gone along. So going from possibly eating meat every night to once, maybe twice a week. And generally that was if I saw family, we'd have a barbecue and just
as habitual stuff.
Yeah, habitual stuff. As they show on that documentary, that it's like through marketing and things that are like previous generations and things have taught us, that that's how we're masculine. Meant to eat and meat, what we're supposed masculine. To eat. And that's, yeah, that makes you a man because you eat meat and stuff like that. But not just that, but also seeing the scientific results of how it affects like your blood and even your performance in the bedroom apparently as well. But yeah, I thought, why not just give it a shot and just see, there's nothing to lose, there's a lot to gain if anything. And yeah, it's worked wonders for me. I've had amazing results with my bowels as well. I noticed a couple of questions, people asking how it's going, and things are amazing at the moment. I'm still on my infusions with the plant-based diet. It's been incredible. So I'd recommend it to anyone to give it a shot. Even, it doesn't have to be a full-time thing if you don't want it to be, but even just cutting back.
One less meat meal a day. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go vegan. Just the smallest changes make such a big difference.
And it's, yeah, it is. It's really not that difficult when you actually start doing it. You find ways around
alternatives. Vegan alternatives, cheese, vegan meat, vegan everything.
And there's becoming more and more things available to help you with that It's purely just, yeah, you get out of it what you want to get out of it realistically. Exactly. So, yeah, in terms of how we deal with it, it's basically now we're together, we both eat plant-based. I guess Lauren's always been a vegetarian.
But also when you were eating meat every single night, we probably had a couple of little jokey arguments and stuff, but as a whole, I was never that girlfriend that was like, you can't eat meat in this household. How dare you eat meat? I mean, I'm not that kind of person in general. People like apologize when they eat meat near me. And I'm like, I couldn't care less if you want to eat meat. I'm like, that's why do I care?
We're both really good like that, where I didn't put expectation on you to eat meat and you didn't expect me not to eat meat. It was just, we'll eat what we want to eat, basically.
And it was a really natural thing. I didn't force you to, can you not? If you cooked a steak, I'd have to open the windows because it stunk, but it wasn't like me having a dig at you. It was just because I hate the smell of it. Like, and it's just being mindful.
Just over time, I guess I progressed towards the vegetarian thing because it was just easy to cook the same things together. And
yeah, that's what comes down to as well.
Lauren would just introduce me to things and I would try them. And if I enjoyed them, I would just replace my normal meals with that. Or it just became easier as well with eating the same thing. And I enjoyed it, so.
Best of both worlds, woo! Yeah.
Someone asked my perspective, or Reese on his perspective of the online world and how your work / lifestyle affects you too.
I didn't see that one, that's a good question.
Yeah, more so, we can answer the first part, my perspective. Initially, I had no idea, meeting Lauren, she said she was on YouTube and stuff, and I'd heard of YouTube, but I didn't know you could do that as a job or anything like that, and I'd never ever even used it. Facebook was the main thing I used, and even then I hardly ever posted. I've always been pretty private, so it's been a whole life changing thing learning about YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. And at first it was a bit, not hard, but it was just different. I guess it was weird going to the shops with my girlfriend and having other girls come running up and wanting photos with her and things like that. And
for someone who's really private,
For someone who's private and has anxiety, it was quite full on and interesting as well. Like,
what made you? Because everyone, you were so not online, and then all of a sudden you have an Instagram. Like, people wouldn't understand that when I was always saying, oh, like, it doesn't. Like, people would assume that if you make a decision once, you can never, ever, 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 ever go back on that decision, or you can never. If one day I say I hate mushrooms, I can never, ever, ever like mushrooms. You know what I mean? Like, just because you say...
I don't believe in that. I think people can change, or things can change.
But that's what I'm saying. But that's exactly what I'm saying. Because I had said in the past that you didn't like social media, when you got social media, people were like, well, you said you didn't like social media. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, and he didn't. But now he's trying it. So what's the issue?
And that's what it came down to, was trying it. I think it was, I'd always had a little part of me that wanted to try it or see what it was like, or I guess when you feel like everyone else is doing it, you want to be a part of it. And then I'm not someone that likes photos and things like that, so I didn't really want to take the plunge. But then I think we went away to
the Maldives
for a trip or whatever, the brand, and met Seba, Chloe Morello's partner, and he was really cool and really open, and just we just had a conversation about it, and he was just like, at the end of the day, what have you got to lose? And he seemed to love it and enjoy it, and then it kind of made me think, what have I got to lose? Like, why not just, if anything, I could maybe help people or share things with people that I've never shared before, and maybe, they might get something, or I don't know.
Take something out of it, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess at the end of the day, I just wanted to try it and see what the big fuss was about, I guess. And over time, I guess, got less and less interested in it.
So you got it, and then you're posting, you're taking photos, and you're getting more comfortable in front of the camera as well. Noted also that it was just me, it wasn't in front of big groups of people and stuff. We're both awkward in front of cameras, unless it's either of us doing it. It's all in context. So people, you're having people in your family saying, "Oh, you're doing modeling now." It's that was never anything that you wanted to actually.
And that was the hardest.
It was just
thing,
a bit of. It was just dabbling. You're just trying it.
Even guys at work, I'd go to my carpet supply shop and pick up tools for carpet, and they say, "Oh, we hear you're a model now," and things like that. And it was just whoa, no, I just put pictures on Instagram. I didn't know that meant that I was a model or did anything like that. So I guess that made me start to, my anxiety and things like that started to settle in, and I'd start to overthink things. And even now I probably way overthink posting and things like that, because it's just,
it's part of anxiety.
I guess in the beginning it was fun. And I didn't know much about it, so I probably didn't think that it had the impact it did, or that as many people would see it as they have seen it, or comment on it and things like
that. And also, when you started posting, Remember that girl that was like, oh, I'm so disappointed because I thought you'd post like blokey stuff, like, you know, and you haven't been. It's like people had, a few people had expectations of what you would post and what you'd be showing the world, assuming that they knew the kind of person that you were based off the brief glimpses that I'd shown them. Like there are so many different parts of you, and you felt... And you showed the parts that you were comfortable showing.
Yeah.
And then to have people... And that was really hard. And now I understand what, like, my parents would feel when, like, my mum, you know, my sister would see nasty comments, and then, like, you want to, like, fight back because it's like, Reese is this incredible person, and people are saying... No one said anything nasty, but, like, you just want to protect them. But it's... And that's also what... I think, guess what? I was unsure whether or not the Instagram world would be a good thing for you, because people aren't willing to get to know someone before making judgments. And I knew that if you had people saying nasty things about you, which again, no one really did. Everyone's been so lovely. Like, I don't know how you would take that. Not that you needed to be like monitored or anything, of course, but just because I'm sure you would feel that way if the roles were reversed. It's just like, and I never... Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It helped me in a lot of ways understand
what
you went through and what you go through on a day-to-day basis. And then I guess I started to move away from it because it wasn't really adding anything to my life, or not stopped enjoying it, but just...
You didn't miss it.
Yeah, didn't miss it. And I guess I was still growing and still have a lot of growth to go, so... Becoming, I was got moving forward and becoming less insecure, but then over time, I was starting to question it. And you get, I guess it's the whole Instagram world as it is. It's like people think that things are one way, and you get in like a little habit, or you fall into the whole Instagram world where you've got to feel like you've got to perceive things are amazing and this is how things are. And
you've got to show the world.
You've got to show the world the best bits. But I was like, it wasn't becoming harder and harder to do that, but it just didn't feel authentic or real. It was just like, I wanted to share more real things and more things that are actually happening. But then at the same time, it's hard to put that out there to thousands of people and not feel vulnerable.
And it was also hard because then people started asking you, as soon as you shared your ulcerative colitis, like, you know, story, then people were now asking you for like advice and like coming to you as if like they're, as if like, you know, oh, I've just been recently diagnosed, like, what do you do, what do you eat, how do what's your prognosis, like all these serious questions. And it's like, it's a lot of, it was just a lot, I think, because you don't know what it's like until you do it, so you're kind of naive until you jump into the deep end. And you did an amazing, like, I can tell you guys, when Reese was writing that post about his, my friends didn't even know, like, no one really knew, and then he went and told her, like, the entire world, pretty much.
There was people in my family that didn't know about that at that point.
And you went and shared it, and you were sweating bullets. You had spent so much time writing that caption. You were like...
It took me a couple of hours to write that post.
You were just on edge and, like, super nervous, like, absolutely just as you would be. And you posted it, and everyone was so lovely, and like, that's exactly what you wanted to come out of it. And I'm sure it was a weight off your shoulders, but then it also brings the whole... And no one did anything wrong by asking you for advice. Not at all. But like, it just...
It was overwhelming more than anything. And it was...
And you don't want to say... Because you're not a doctor. I think there
was expectation for people, for me to have some miracle cure, or that I'm doing something that they're not, that would be different or whatever. Which it got to the point where I felt like people were asking me to fix them, rather than just advice. Or
you just wanted to share your story and to like to break the stigma, but it became a little bit more than that, which I totally get. And that's, again, it's no one's fault, but that's what, like, we kind of veered off there, but it's like, that's the whole thing with Instagram. You wanted it to be a place where you just share things that, like, I mean, you didn't even have any expectations, but then because you have an Instagram, because you've started posting certain pictures, like, then you feel like the pressure to keep it going and keep up. Like, if brands wanted to work with you, and, you know, which is amazing, then you feel the pressure to have certain numbers and levels, and you start comparing. And even you, someone who had never had, like, any interest in social media, then got caught up in, oh, this didn't perform as well. And it's like, it sucks for me. It sucks for me hearing that, because I know how much of a slippery slope it is when, like, your entire career is based off your engagement and numbers and analytics and stats and all this kind of stuff. And then you start to base your self-worth off that. At least I did a few years ago. And when it changes, then because you've based your self-worth on that, when it goes down, your self-worth goes down. When it goes up, you feel amazing and on top of the world. And to see that happening to you really sucked, but you were self-aware enough, and I guess it helped having me there as well, because I could see it, to be like, no, this has gone too far.
I guess I got caught up in the whole influencer thing and doing posts and things like
that.
Which
was never your intention.
Yeah, it was never my intention.
It was never the intention. It just happened naturally. I guess because of the world I'm in, it was easier for Reese to get into it.
Obviously, opportunities came and things like that, but...
I mean, you're working super hard, laying carpet all day, when you can earn a bit of money, like, doing something that is comparatively a lot less stressful and impossible to... Yeah, anyway, you know what I'm saying. It's... You'd be silly not to consider it. And that's, I guess, where it... When the door opened for you... But even still, it wasn't like something you really grabbed with both hands. You kind of dabbled in it. Mm. And then that's when you felt like you were kind of losing, not losing yourself, but like...
Well, I was losing the whole reason I joined it in the first place, which was just for fun and just to share parts of your life. And it's not even about how many likes you get or comments and like or whatever, anything. It literally is just sharing your
what
life
you
with people.
World,
and like
yeah.
It's not even what you're adding to the world. It's just... sharing your life with other people. But I think that Instagram is, rather than sharing your life, it's like sharing what your life is supposed to be instead of, hey, this is real life. Like most of us have the same life, and Instagram is just like a glimpse of the best parts of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't enjoy that. I didn't like seeing that everyone was acting as if they had lots of money or, you know, traveling the world all the time. And for me, life wasn't like that at all. Like, there'd be times where Lauren would go away on a brand trip and I'd be at home working at, you know, 6 or 7 a.m. till 6 at night, laying carpet, you know.
Not glamorous.
Yeah, not at all. But yet then I would have a picture of me, I don't know, in LA or something like that. And it's like, well, it just didn't feel real because it's like, that's not what life is. And so I decided I didn't want to be on Instagram as much. And so now I just post little things here and there. And
if you ever wanted to get back into it, you have an open mind. You haven't closed the book. You haven't opened the book. Like, the book is just there, and you take it as it comes.
Yeah.
So in terms of how we deal with the whole online world, I mean, and it's a big question. I feel like we kind of answered it, especially Reese answered it, which is, it's with anything. It's like a roller coaster. Like you deal with it as it comes. You might feel a certain way about something at one point and then you deal with it and you act accordingly. Then things might change. You act accordingly. And that's exactly what Reese did. And
take out expectations. Again, back to that. Everything's back to the expectations. Don't put any expectation on it. Just post it because you want to post it and because you love it and you feel good about it. And so that makes you feel good about yourself, not because you think that's what I have to post or what other people should see. And if you don't post for a year, 10 years, 2 weeks, a day, at the end of the day, who cares? It's your thing. It's not about that.
And I mean, you've been good with that with me too. If I'm like, oh, you know, my podcast episode did really well, or this post did really well or whatever, then you're like, you don't really say anything. Like, I guess normally you would have been like, oh, that's like, you know, awesome, babe, whatever. Now you don't feed into that with me, which is a good thing because it keeps me, not keeps me grounded because I'm grounded regardless, but it keeps me in check in terms of like, stop focusing on that. That's not what's important.
Mm.
And I think you wouldn't have been able to grasp that as well as you do now, as you can now, had you not gone through it yourself. Yeah. And also you going through that helped me as well, because you now understand things that you didn't understand about my side of work and things like that, that are kind of hard to get a grasp on unless you've lived it. I'm glad though that we got to talk about that, because I feel like, not that it ever really needed to be addressed, but I wanted to chat about that. Like, why Reese got it in the first place after saying he would, and then why he dropped away and why he comes back. Like, it's not that, anyone's owed an explanation, but there was deeper meaning to it. And I'm glad that other people, because like, it's your situation is probably more realistic for most of the people listening. Or a lot of the people listening, because mine is different because I make money off this. So if I stop doing it, I stop earning money. Whereas if you stop doing it, your life resumes as normal. Yeah. So for people that are going through a similar thing where they feel bad about themselves, they're going online and they feel like crap. Like, you even stopped looking at Instagram for a while, or you would just go on like Facebook or Instagram and just, because you just, every time you're like on your phone, you're looking at like basketball stuff or whatever. Like, it's not, it's, you've selected what you see, which also transforms the way you feel about yourself and about your life, which a lot of people can take away.
It's probably something we didn't dive into, which is what I think everyone has a issue with, is comparison and comparing yourself, which I fell into the trap of with Instagram, like big time, is comparing yourself with other people and like how you look. And then it was like this post, this guy's posting and he's fitter than me or he's better looking than me. And it was like guys have that same thing too. It's not just women. Like, we compare ourselves.
Whether or not they say it.
And, you know, the whole alpha male thing, like that. I'm not someone that wants to be the alpha male, but seeing people that are bigger and better or better looking, but it's like at the end of the day, that's like good for them. That's who they are. And it doesn't change anything or doesn't mean anything. Like, we don't need to compare ourselves. And so the best way for me to move away from that, to get away from that, is to just cut it away completely. Like, it doesn't add anything to your life, as I said. But I think if you're going into Instagram trying to make money from it or be an influencer, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons, because it's
goal.
Yeah. The biggest thing is happiness. You gotta do something that makes you happy. Yep. And if you can make an impact at the same time and earn money at the same time, then that's just a bonus on the side.
Snap. Bum. Mic drop. Thank you, Reese.
Anyway, we're boring everyone now. Mimi's asleep.
Mimi's asleep. It is 7 o'clock, we have not eaten dinner, so we need to go. Looks like it's going to be an Uber Eats night, I think, unless we've got everything in the fridge, which we do not have. So,
do we answer questions? Reese, I feel like we rambled a bit, but...
Hey, if you're on a podcast with me, you're going to ramble. Reese thinks we didn't answer.
Apologies if we rambled a bit. I know when you're having an open discussion, you tend to go from one thing to another, but hopefully you guys get something out of it, and hopefully we helped and answered the questions
in some way or another. But to be fair, I think we did a good job.
It was good being honest. And good, once you settle in and relax and just have a chat. This is a perfect
example of what we were talking about. When Reese first sat down,
I was nervous and overthinking and breathing. And
that's exactly it. Because with everything with you, you can feel my energy. You flourish so... Oh, no. Like, Reese is he gets so nervous about social stuff. But you're the most witty, outgoing, complete opposite of the kind of person you think you are, but you don't see yourself that way. So I know that when you're in a situation like this...
Anyway, we're rambling again.
No, shush. Where you're, like, at the start of it, and it's the same thing with filming. Like, you're, like, you have this thick wall up, and it's, like, you don't feel... Like, you're overthinking everything you say.
My energy changes.
And that's why the podcast is good, because we can answer questions, and I know that towards the end of the podcast... you're going to be more comfortable, so I can move those ones to the start of the podcast so that it shows your true personality, because, you know, not everyone, like, for me, it's so easy to talk in front of a microphone or a camera because I've been doing it for so long, but for you, it's like, this is not something you're comfortable doing. So, like, considering the start where, like, I had to do most of the talking because you're nervous towards the end where you're like, well, let's answer more questions, like, thanks for listening, hope you didn't, you know, it's a completely different situation. So, it's amazing, and it's very symbolic. This podcast episode is symbolic in itself. It's a metaphor.
It's all learning. Yeah.
Yes.
It's what life is.
Mimi is laying down and watching every word he says. Yeah. I'm glad she hasn't been licking her paws so you guys don't get tongue sounds. And then as soon as I said that, she yawns and starts licking her lips. Anyway, Reese, thank you so much. I feel like I'm speaking to a stranger. Thank you so much, Reese. Where can we find you? What are your social media handles? You can catch Reese on this social media.
You don't need to find me anywhere.
You're hiding under a rock blissfully. Okay, yes, time for us to go eat dinner. I love you very much, Reese.
I love you too. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
If you guys enjoyed the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, because Mia's watching me. Stop watching me. She's like judging me. Look at Dad.
Hey.
Thank you. Yes, subscribe, rate, and review. It helps get the podcast out there and lets me know what you guys like to see more of. I also have a special Instagram page for the podcast, which is at Mental Makeover Podcast. Reese's handle, not that he cares or encourages you to follow him or cares either way.
Do what you want.
Is Reese DeDaniel. And that is about it. No, wait, sorry. You can also find Reese at Bonhomme Watches, which is his watch brand, which is amazing. Or Reese de Daniel, which he's watching me and he's getting awkward and doesn't want me to talk about this. But anyway. All right. Thank you for listening. I love you guys. And I hope to see you all. I'm so in the habit of speaking about YouTube. And I hope... And I'll speak to you all next week. Bye, everyone.
Have a great day, guys.
Shut up.